Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm starting to feel more and more strongly that Thanksgiving dinner should be at least a quarterly thing.
Sarah for mayor. Sometimes all I want out of life is a nice bowl of chips and salsa.
I hear that, sister. Hey, remember when social media was fun?
Mm-mm.
Me either.
Got accosted by a wild turkey, then swam with the dolphins. In the wise words of Jane Fonda circa 1982, no pain, no gain.
Jane knows it. Have such a good day. Hello world, welcome back to Have Such a Good Day, the show that wants you to do just that. It's episode 174.
Indeed, it's Sarah Lane.
With Heather Frank with me at the helm. I don't actually know what at the helm means, but I assume that we're both at the helm.
I think it's like a ship thing.
It's
like
a ship, you're at nautical thing.
A ship. Yeah, I believe it's a, you know, I don't really know the term. I get like confronted with like sailor terminology when I do crossword puzzles, because they do those a lot, and I'm like, I don't know what the back of the ship is called.
I know what port and starboard is. I have some friends who have sailboats and they're like very into sailing, so like I pick up some stuff here and there, but mostly
when we go sailing, I'm just holding on for dear life, trying
it's
not
to die.
It's
kind of Greek to me. Yeah, it is. But, yeah. You know, I will say I was on a boat a few days ago in Mexico. It wasn't a sailboat. It was more of a bigger motorboat. And, you know, I was bracing myself for getting sick because it would, you know, drive fast, but then it would stop and idle because
are you a sick boat person?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm like a sick in the back of an Uber kind of person. I mean, I won't barf, but I, like when I was a kid, I used to actually like have to pull over. Like my dad had to pull over and I'd actually puke, but now I just get really nauseous. It's just uncomfortable. But I never actually get sick. The boat thing is different. So I brought Dramamine, you know, thinking, oh, I'll just, you know, take this. You know, it depends on the boat. And it was interesting because when we were actually driving, I was fine. I mean, I had to sit in the front and I had to look straight ahead and just like watch the water. But when we stopped, because he let us jump in the middle of the ocean, which was kind of scary. You know, he would just kind of idle for a little bit. That was when I started to feel queasy. Me and my friend that I traveled with, we just kept staring at each other like, oh, here it comes. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Are you okay? But really? It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. So,
you know, it's interesting. I've never had seasickness, but I'm very familiar with car sickness. I don't really have it anymore. It's something that I guess I grew out of, weirdly. I mean, I can read in the car now and sure. I don't even care. But I used to not be able to sit in the back seat. But on a boat, it's never been an issue for me. Even if it's pitching quite a bit and I'm like, I'm pretty uncomfortable right now. I'm not nauseous. So I don't know. Small victories.
I get like travel sickness, like even like flying back on Sunday, I felt kind of queasy for a couple of days because it was, you know, it was a long trip and we had some rough, you know, plane rides that like the queasiness kind of held on for a little while. I don't have it anymore, but I was like, man, this is some serious travel sickness. But if you guys are tuning in for the first time, this is the show.
Who are we, Heather?
Who the heck are we? We're two little ladies. This is the small and mighty team have such a good day. Sarah and myself, the show that likes to unpack the absurdity of everyday life for hopefully your and our entertainment. How y'all doing out there? You know, I'd love to hear from any of you who currently live in California or were in California the last 2 weeks, because I'm the asshole who left California for the precise 2 weeks of time that we had a very big atmospheric rivers, what they call it. Huge, huge storms all across California. In fact, I had to weather some of it with what was happening at my properties because we had trees fall. It was pretty wild. And I will say I felt guilty. I felt really good. I mean, I didn't know a storm was going to hit us. It's not like I planned it, but I did leave
the even
day
if you did
it hit.
Know, like, it's not like you did it.
Well, no, of course. But I felt guilty because I was gone for 2 solid weeks and I left that the storm hit. And like, there was a lot of shit that happened. Like, there was a lot of stuff that my people had to deal with because I wasn't here. So anyway, totally. Now the birds are chirping, the sun's out, and I feel like I brought the sun
the
back.
Birds.
You do?
Okay, Snow White over there. Jesus, Heather.
I'm just zippity-doo-dying up here in North
And South. For anybody who's listening who happens to be in the Northern California area, you know, by the time you listen to this, it may have gotten better or worse. We're hopefully getting out of the worst of what was a pretty crazy storm all throughout California, and really the Pacific Northwest as well. So yeah, hope everybody's safe and warm and drying out. And if you're not drying out, you've got great galoshes. And a good, solid, sturdy
good umbrella. Hat. Yeah. And, you know, if that you guys too. Have any stories, please email us at hi@havesuchagooddaycom. I got stories. But I do want to say that I hope everybody's safe. It was a little scary. I will say I was slightly envious of the lightning storms. I was down in sunny Mexico and hearing these stories about these wild, like there was like lightning like all day. I love lightning and I missed it.
Well, I don't hate lightning. However, So I've probably explained this before. I have a very strange sleeping situation where I sleep in, my tiny little apartment. Oh, my little treehouse. I love it so. Mm-hmm. But where my bed is, there's sort of almost like a dropped ceiling right above the bed itself, even though mm-hmm. the ceiling in the rest of my house is like quite a large A-frame.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the drop ceiling above my bed, but there's also a skylight in that ceiling, which is rad. You know, like you go to bed, you know, on a sun, or not a sunny night, but a starry night. You know, maybe the moon's out, you know, you see a shooting star and you're just like looking up above your head. Pretty cool.
Amazing.
It's unparalleled. Mm-hmm. However, during a lightning storm, when you're like, oh, okay, it's time for bed.
And you're in the middle of the woods.
I'm just going to go ahead and like put on some comfy PJs and, you know, get into bed and just, you know, maybe like lay on my back and just sort of like look up at the stars, and then there's like a crazy lightning bomb and then thunder that happens a few seconds later, and then that happens for the next 30 to 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Slightly jarring.
You're like, nope.
I felt like I was like in like this. A Stanley Kubrick movie where it was like, how much can Sarah take before she just has to put her eye pillow on and like turn over.
Speaking of shooting stars, I saw one of them. It's so interesting how every time I've seen a shooting star, I know this sounds weird, but you know, you look up just for a second and you see it and the other person doesn't. And you're like, oh my God, I just looked up. I saw one on the beach in Mexico and it looked like a comet. It was huge. I've never seen such a big shooting star before, but it felt like one of those cheesy magical moments where you're like, I was supposed to see that. You know, and you feel like it was just there for you. And, but they are magical. I mean, it is always exciting to see a shooting star. It feels, it's like seeing a rainbow, you know, it's like, the earth is magical and there's beautiful things out there. It's a friendly reminder.
It is. And as a space hater, which I'm like, I like wink, wink. Like, I don't really hate space. I just don't want to go there. I like to look at space. That's all I want to do with space. Space and I have a spatial relationship. We are good. Yes, a shooting star is, you know, it,
space
it
is your nemesis.
Sort of. I just don't want to be in it.
Yeah.
I just want to
Well, you
be
are.
Here.
You have to accept the fact that you are in the universe. You're not floating
there are so many people who are so ready to be like, let's get on another planet and see how we make it work. And I'm like, but like Earth is so like, how many places you've been on Earth?
But I will say. I will say, I think people are either, like if you did a poll with your friends, you may find that like, yeah, one person is very space person, the other person's very ocean person. But when I was on that boat and I was in the middle of the ocean where I could barely see land, it made me feel very uncomfortable. So I think I would feel the same in space. I'm fascinated by space and I'm fascinated by what's under the water. But when you see a whale pop up, you know, 20 feet from your boat, and you just saw Pinocchio, it can be scary too.
Had you just watched Pinocchio?
I literally just saw Pinocchio, no joke.
Okay. All right. I'm like, that's a very specific scenario that Heather's described.
And it was the new Guillermo del Toro Pinocchio, you know, which has a darkness to it. But you know the story of Pinocchio and the whale. I'm not going to
like that story very much.
No.
To be honest.
Nope.
There are a lot of Disney stories where I'm like, it's very problematic.
Mm-hmm. This is a good one, though. I actually thought this Pinocchio was it because it's claymation and it's so well done. Okay. I mean, it's just like, it's cool to watch it just for like the animation. It's a good movie. It's well written and I think it's worth seeing. So how's everything been going, Lanes?
Well, Heather, I mean, you know, I I never want to make this podcast about, you know, Sarah's health journey because it's a big
it
old
is called Have Such a Good Day
sandwich. Yes.
Maybe we I'm should change the title. Day.
Trust me, never better. But
eat your shit sandwich.
Yeah, eat it. Yeah, like what would that be made of? Don't want to think about it. But especially because I have ground beef to eat for dinner later. Yuck. But yeah. Speaking of ground beef, I am definitely on, you know, I'm obviously going through chemotherapy right now. Anybody who listens to the show knows that already. I am now just now 3 sessions down of 4, which means that I'm almost done. I only have 1 more. Now that no one has said to me, hey, and this is, you know, tried and true, we'll never change our minds. There might be, you know, a variety of things that I have to do after this. Mm-hmm. They could say, well, you need more chemo. You know, here's the radiation thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe neither of those things. But what I'm holding on to right now is that I'm almost done with something that has been extremely difficult. And I'm really, really happy about that. And what's funny is that, you know, it depends on the day that you catch me on. And I think that there are a lot of, I don't know, physical, mental, or hybrid versions of this story that, you know, could be cancer or something else, you know, where somebody would be like, I had a really bad day yesterday, but today I'm better, mm-hmm. you know, or vice mm-hmm. versa, right? Like yesterday yep. I felt really good and today I don't.
Yeah.
And that is just sort of the reality of my situation right now. Mm-hmm. And that has been kind of problematic for me because I have a job. Well, mm-hmm. I have, you know, I'm a freelancer. So, I mean, I, you know, I have several jobs, you know, I have a life, you know, mm-hmm. I have a personal life. I have family, I have friends, you know, I have, you know, things that I have to do. I have chores and errands. And we all have up days and down days. And mm-hmm. I think that being a person who I think I, you know, I traverse that stuff more or less pretty well, you know, mm-hmm. on any given day. I have had a hard time with that.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of months and, you know, to the point where I don't really know how else to say it except that the highs and the lows have been, they've been spiky and mm-hmm. that can sometimes be really hard.
Yeah.
And maybe not even just for me, but like people around me, you know,
sure.
it's like, you know, you might have a bad day and the next day you're like, boy. That was not a good day.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was not a good day. There's certainly a lot of personal responsibility to take from that. There's also, you know, some grace to give yourself.
Yes, of course.
You know, when you're going through tough stuff. So, you know, just these are things I'm, you know, are swimming in my mind at all times.
Yeah. This is your day-to-day reality. So it's, you know, number one, thank you for sharing. And I think everybody would say the same. It's a hard thing to share about what you're going through day-to-day. And, you know, and I'm not blowing smoke, but I know I'm not there every second, but I'm proud of you. I feel like you've been a real trooper. And I know you've had bad days, but you still have an air of optimism. You're very, you're strong. You're strong. I mean, I know that it's hard and I wish that I could make it less hard. But I'm impressed with how composed and, your head seems to be screwed on straight and I applaud you and you are at the end. And I mean, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel and that must feel great.
Yes, it does. And I'm going to lean into that as long as I can until someone tells me different.
Yes, you should.
But yeah, that's kind of the update, you know, on my life. I wish I could tell you, oh, and this other really cool, interesting, non-cancer related thing happened to me, but I'll just be honest with y'all. That's kind of all I think about. All I want to do is just get through this period and then like my life comes back to me.
Yeah.
And that is, that's, I mean, life doesn't go away, of course. I mean, I'm still alive, but I'm very excited for the next era.
Yeah, for
my
the next
new
chapter.
Pro era.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be great. And the thing is when your health is in, you know, a bad place, it's kind of hard to think about something else. And I think that's everybody would understand that, you know, it's like, yeah, it's at the center of your universe. It's like, there's nothing else matters, you know, until you feel better.
Also,
until you're
there's
better.
No like time to think about anything else. You know, like somebody will ask me something that is fairly trivial and I'm like, I'll get back to you. Never.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not even trying to be rude. I'm just I'm at Kaiser right now. Like I'm, you know, like talking to like oncology people or like getting a CT scan or something. It's like, you just kind of have to like prioritize things and hope that, you know, they work themselves out sooner than later.
Yeah. It's interesting how, you know, I was talking to my sister about, and this is not the best like analogy, but we've talked about this on the show. When you lose a family, someone you love, like I lost my parents the last couple of years, and there's people that totally know what to say, know how to communicate with you. And then there's people who don't and don't understand because they haven't been, you know, and it's hard. It's hard 100%. To navigate the world when, you know, not everybody totally understands and doesn't know what to say. They mean well, but it's got to be frustrating, you know, when people don't say the right thing and you're,
Well, it's very easy to take it personally.
Yeah.
It's very easy to be like, whoa, I'm not like worth something better from you.
Yeah.
Because you're like taking all of that, you know, you're making it all about you.
Yeah.
When it really is about the person not having the, you know, tools to necessarily deal with something that is so monumental that they don't want to say or do the wrong thing, where they just don't even have those feelings inside their own bodies because they haven't gone through it.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
It's like, this is such a like a huge conversation. We could go on and on about it. but yeah, I really do think the more that many of us either experience you know, sort of traumatic events or, you know, traumatic events within our families or our friends or both, you know, or all three, that, you know, we become more compassionate as we get older.
I think so for sure. I totally think so.
Because how can you not?
Yeah. I mean, you can't get through life unscathed.
That's what you're going to gain out of this. You know, like you're still going to have a lot of heartache, but you're going to have a lot of compassion.
Yeah, nobody's living in a Shangri-La, that's for sure.
That is for sure. So yeah, so that's my health update, Heather. But enough about me. You have had quite a whirlwind of life as of late. So yeah, tell us about it.
Speaking of like back to reality, you know, it's so funny. This
back
isn't the first time.
Life.
No, yes, I know. So it's so funny because I knew you would know that song. And this has happened to me before when I get back. However do you need me? And then like in fact, Sarah, you have to rewatch that video. It's so great. Like the way they dance and like the movement of the video. It's just, it's so of that era. It's Soul to Soul, by the way. This is the It was very popular.
I mean,
back in our teen
I don't want to Google it, but I'm going
to
guess it's like, I don't know, like 90?
Oh, it's so great.
Like 1990-ish?
Let's see. But it's funny because remember how you said that you'd get these earworms, like these songs in your head during certain times. Like, and this always is in my head when I'm like kind of facing harsh reality.
It's not the worst song to have.
No, it's a great song. It's a great song. It actually makes me feel better about things. I think it was, what year was that? Gosh. Let's see, the year.
Okay. Soul to Soul.
Yeah. Soul to Soul.
I'm just going to go ahead and look it up.
I think it was 89. I think it was late
80s. 89. Okay. Yeah, that makes
89.
Sense.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that song has been in my head. And it's a great song. Again, watch the video. It's so great. But yeah, so I basically have not been gone. I mean, I feel like I've been gone for a while. I was gone for 2 solid weeks, 1 week in Oaxaca, and then another week in a small coastal town in southern Mexico called Puerto Escondido. And I hadn't been to any of those places. I've been a fair amount around Mexico in the different corners. You know, it was neat to kind of go to a different area. This Oaxaca was very mountainous, which I, you know, reminded me a little bit of San Miguel de Allende. It's further south, but it was kind of arid. You know, it had, you know, it wasn't on the beach. I mean, it's far enough away from the beach that it just has more of a mountainous vibe. And it was interesting because it's not a cosmopolitan town. It's very provincial. It's no Mexico City. I'm a big fan of Mexico City. You know, Sarah and I actually went to Mexico City together many years ago. It was super fun. And in fact, we weren't planning on stopping in Mexico City, which we had mixed feelings about, but we were like, we're making our trip too complicated. You can't go everywhere. So we skipped it, but then we missed our flight to Oaxaca because of snow in the United States. It wasn't our fault. I mean, we just missed it. It was just a long enough delay and we didn't have enough time to get, you know, to our connection. And it was one of those long travel days where you're like, oh man, what are we going to do? We're either going to like sit at the airport for 10 hours or we're going to go into Mexico City. Cause you know, we landed there and we were kind of stuck there and we're like, you know, let's go to Mexico City. And like, just cause it's only a 20-minute Uber Uber. It's not that far from the airport. And we thought, ah, screw it. Let's go get dinner. It was early enough that we felt that we could have a nice little excursion. And our flight that we rebooked was like later. It was like 24 hours later, basically. So we felt like it was enough time. Anyway.
Yeah.
We actually had a great little overnighter in Mexico City. Went to like our favorite restaurants. Just like walked the city. It was great. You know,
I love how you're like, we had 24 hours. We went to all our favorite entire city.
Well, it was actually one favorite restaurant, but it was like the favorite restaurant. And it was one that you and I went to.
That is a city to eat well in. It is.
And it was nice to kind of get a little bit of Mexico City because Oaxaca was very different. You know, Oaxaca is known for mole. And I've never been like a huge, I'm not really, I never,
there's a chocolatey thing that I'm not totally into.
I'm not sure. I like my savory food to be savory. And there's a little bit of that sweetness cause it's chocolate based, but I did get a chance to really try a variety of mole, which is, they're not all dark chocolate looking. There's some that are like yellow and orange, like there's a range. And so, But after I was there for a week, I was like, okay, I want some traditional Mexican food because, you know, a lot of what you get in Oaxaca isn't the typical fare that you might assume.
But like, isn't it funny that like when you and I think of traditional Mexican food, it's like we're from California.
Oh, so yeah,
like 100%. Mexican food, like we grew up on it. But
I think
like,
of Los Angeles.
That's that. I mean, exactly.
It's street
like,
tacos.
That's not what
salsa.
Oaxaca is going to be giving you. Like, no. Mexico is a big old country with all sorts of regional fare.
Yeah, and it was neat. I mean, it was such a cool regional experience. I mean, we went out of the city center on this little tour in this like textile village. And it was all like artists. There was like candle makers. And it felt super authentic. You know, got to speak a little bit of Spanish. I wish I would have done a little more Duolingo before I left, but you know, we got by. The person I was traveling with had a better handle on the language. So that was good. But usually I really like to partake in, you know, at least trying, you know, some of the basic stuff, which I did, but I would have liked to have done better. You know, so that was very food related. We had some really interesting like dining experiences. Like we actually went to, it's hard to explain, but it was like it was kind of called a dining experience. You go into this, you know, it's not even a cave, but it's like it almost looks like a film set. It's just like this very authentic kind of, setting with like clay pots and, you know, like a clay oven, and they cook in front of you all on, you know, they have those mortar and pestles that are like all out of stone, and they're like grinding corn in front of you.
I love how you're like, it's authentic. There's clay pots everywhere.
It's hard to explain. It's a very hard thing to explain. I was actually trying to come up with a way to, because if you see the pictures, you're like, oh. But yeah, it was just, they speak in Spanish. They tell you all the, you know, food they're serving, and they're grinding the food down right in front of you. It's pretty cool. But what I wanted to mention that really struck me is, you know, all the things that I was worried about pre-trip that we talked about before I left did happen, mm-hmm. did indeed happen, but it was okay. And the funny thing is you know, you do spend all this time fabricating what can happen, and you worry more about it when you're ahead of it, when you don't even know if it's going to happen, then it does happen. And then you realize it's okay. You just have to, like, you really have to roll with the punches. And I did. I was actually really proud of myself. I, you know, I did get like some kind of food poisoning one night. You know, we missed several flights. I left my driver's license in Mexico City. You know, we slept in uncomfortable beds. Like, we had, you know, we showed up at our first Airbnb, and there were two guys that just flew in from San Francisco that booked it also. But it was, they had a false booking on booking.com. It was a whole thing. But there's fiascos, you know, and you kind of have to like find the humor in it. And I was very proud of myself. I felt I wasn't cranky. Yeah. I felt like, you know, we just solved the problems and we moved on, and it got more comfortable. And I would say the last, you know, we left the crown jewel for the end. We ended up, you know, going to this little surf town, very cute. Kind of felt like a cross between, I mean, like Burning Man and, I don't know, some just early Tulum, like Yucatan kind of vibes. Cause it's a bit of a party coastal town, but like, it's like dirt roads, chickens everywhere.
This is Puerto Escondido, right?
Yeah, Puerto Escondido. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's a surf town. Rough around the edges. Yeah. But it's like, you still can get like an acai bowl. And it's like, you know, it's kind of got this interesting mix of wellness versus chaos, you know? It was neat. And we had this really interesting Airbnb.
Wellness and chaos. Perfect.
Wellness and chaos.
My kind of town.
That's like what I strive for in life. Wellness with a little bit of chaos.
Can I be as healthy as possible, but give me some chaos.
Throw in a little bit of chaos.
I don't want to be bored.
It's true. And you know, it's a fun environment because there's lots of, you know how in Mexico, I mean, there's lots of dogs running around and they don't have leashes on, but they're really friendly and they seem really happy because they're just roaming around.
They're town dogs.
They're like on a mission. They're always running and their tails are wagging and they're kind of like, they come in and out of these restaurants and there's even cats, like cats will jump on your lap and there's chickens and goats. And I mean, we saw so many animals. You know, we went on that boat trip. I saw whales and turtles and, you know, just schools of dolphins. I mean, it was wild. At least I didn't get kidnapped or mugged or eaten by a shark. But that's sort of like the Reader's Digest version of my trip. There you have it.
Definitely a plus. Man, Reader's Digest. I haven't thought about that in a while.
Remember when they would sell those at the grocery store? Like,
remember when people used to like collect Reader's Digests?
Yes, totally.
So yeah, it's funny when you're talking about dogs and cats, it's like, depending on the country that you're in, you know, a variety of monkeys, cows, even elephants, you know, may come up and be like, hello, would you like to share your breakfast with me?
Totally.
In fact, I've had a couple not cool encounters with monkeys in India. India, I'm looking at you, Rajasthan. really aggressive. We're like, I was like, oh, that was my breakfast. I guess it's yours now.
Like he just came up and stole it.
Took the whole damn tray. Yeah. Well, monkeys are, you know, they're basically people. Like, they know what they're doing.
Oh yeah, totally.
He took my entire breakfast.
Like, look, there's a coffee, stupid tourist.
Juice. Like, quite a few things. Anyway, well, it sounds like you had an adventure, and that is that's the fun of it, right?
Well,
that's,
I will say,
that's the point.
We talked about this in a previous episode, and you know, I was saying like, what I really need is just to kick it with a book on a beach somewhere mellow and not move around a lot. This was a little more moving around than I wanted in theory, but then I realized the adventure, you know, is so valuable. You know, the discomfort, the you know, I feel like we lugged our suitcases a little because we, you know, we booked it last minute. So that there were some longer, you know, itineraries than we would normally have had. But a part of that, like, pain and suffering is, I don't know, it's like what we talked about is like it sort of adds to the lesson of it all, you know, and you come back feeling like accomplished as opposed to just staying at a nice resort and like laying on your butt the whole time. Cause I think that gets boring.
Yeah.
So yeah. Whenever somebody
asks me, you know, like, I don't know if we get into like the conversation of travel, like, you know, the obvious one is what's the favorite place you know, the best place you've ever been, where I'm like, okay, hard to, you know, quantify that. It totally depends on what you want, but you know, whatever. But sometimes when people say, well, what's the worst place you've ever been? It's like, I mean, I've been in some places where I'm like, wouldn't want to go back there again. Did not like that. But I also feel like it was still enriching because I can say that.
Yes, totally.
Instead of just not knowing one way or another, it's like, no, I've been there and here's why I didn't have a good experience. Or, you know, here's why I feel like the, you know, it might not be the right, you know, next destination for you. Mm-hmm. I don't think you lose.
No,
I
mean, you don't.
Well, I mean, if you lose a limb or something, then you're losing. Yeah. But travel in general, I don't know. I feel like you really only gain.
Well, it's funny too, because, you know, you come back to, you know, in Mexico, you really need to avoid drinking the water out of the faucet. Like when you're in the shower, you don't want to like drink a lot of the water because it can make you sick. You know, when we were at the beach location, you know, the roads are like the bottom of creek beds. They're these narrow alleys that are some of them are so treacherous, and you kind of almost can't wear shoes because, I mean, we wore flip-flops pretty much the whole time, but you get so dirty, you get so dusty and dirty. And, you know, coming from a place where, you know, I don't know, I guess I wore more shoes, and I don't know if the word is civilized, but like you kind of go to a place that's a little outside your comfort zone, but then you kind of lean into it and it's like really fun and cool and different. But it's slightly easier being home because you're used to it and you can drink the water in the shower and not worry about things that you worried about on vacation. But there's something about that makes you feel alive. It's just like, it throws you into new environment.
Discomfort is a strange sense of comfort going
it
forward.
Is. Yeah, it is.
If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. For the record. And like, let's just call me a superhuman, even though clearly I'm not, because I'm like dying of cancer right now. I'm not dying, but.
Don't say that.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Knock on wood, everybody. Nobody's dying. But I have never subscribed to the whole don't drink the water in Mexico. I have drank so much water in Mexico, never got sick once. You know,
well, aren't
so
you special?
I'm not.
You got a stomach of steel.
Do what I say, not as I do. Do as I say, not as I do. But I don't know. I never cared very much.
I don't know what got me sick, but I think it was food poisoning because it was like just one of those flash, like overnight kind of sicknesses where you felt better the next day. But the funny thing was that was the one night we kind of partied. Like, I didn't even drink very much on the trip. I actually probably drank less, which was very ironic, because most
then
people do like dry January. Yeah, just like drinking wine with dinner. Like, I really lost a taste for alcohol, especially mezcal, because we did a mezcal tasting that night before I got sick, and I was fine the whole night. I was fine till like midnight, totally fine. Did not feel one iota of illness.
But then
at like 2 in the morning, it was like all night. And so that's why I think it was food poisoning. But we ate at a nice restaurant, so I don't really know. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was the mezcal, but I couldn't drink mezcal.
There are so many variables, you know, just travel and like just funny germs and, you know, who knows.
Yep. Yep.
Who
indeed.
Knows? Well, so Heather, I had a conversation. I have these conversations periodically, but I had one this morning that made me laugh with a friend who was, I'm going to try to describe the story on a high level because I'm not trying to blow up anybody's spot, but I wouldn't be anyway. But the idea that you might get added to like a group text or like a WhatsApp, a group text, you know, for example. And, you know, all of a sudden it's sort of like, ah, now you're getting all these messages and it's like, what's this about? And maybe you want to be in it, maybe you don't. And the etiquette of all of that.
Yeah.
Now I am of the mind of like, dude, if it's not super relevant to me, just don't add me because I'm busy and I don't need my phone going off any more than it already does. But it goes a step further. In this particular situation, the WhatsApp group that my friend was being added to without her knowledge or consent was like something that was like, it wasn't like something crazy. It was, you know, like a connection tool.
Yeah.
But it was sort of like structured along the lines of, okay, so thank you for, you know, you are now invited to this group. And you need to like tell everybody a paragraph about yourself, and also like, you know, what's like the best advice you've gotten to like help the world recently? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, okay, so hold on a second. So I just got added to this WhatsApp group. This is not me, by the way. This is, again, anecdotal. But got added to the WhatsApp group. And now I have an action item.
Okay.
Where I have to like tell everybody like, hey, everybody, I'm Sarah. Here's who I am. Mm-hmm. And here's like
here's
the
what
best
I
advice I got recently, you know, like in order to like help the planet. Now, helping the planet is a great idea, but stuff like this grinds my gears like nothing else. So when my friend was explaining this to me, I was laughing. I'm like, oh, God, I would just like ignore everybody. Like, you can't like rope me into things like that and then demand that I like do something that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it got me thinking of like, okay, well, the person who had sort of put this together was trying to create structure around, okay, let me get a bunch of maybe not like-minded, but like cool people together that I care about, and we can start some sort of cool discourse about the world. That's fine. You know, that's there's nothing wrong with doing that. But you've got the people who love structure. And then you have the people who are more on the other side of the spectrum like me, where I'm like, you know, can we just like not like go around the room and like say something nice about the birthday
girl?
Just
like,
could we just like not do that? I mean, I'm here. like too much structure makes me crazy.
Yeah.
But I also am a person who misses flights and is, you know, chronically late to things. So it's like, I'm not saying that structure is a bad thing. I think sometimes not enough structure, you know, causes me to like drop balls. But I see this a lot, especially in, you know, I was joking earlier about social media not being fun anymore. I mean, there's plenty of fun still to be had, but there's a lot of structure that I see in people that I know. Sometimes they're close friends of mine. Sometimes they're more just, you know, people that I have seen around or maybe I've only met once type thing. Mm-hmm. But you see it a lot. You know, somebody plans a party and let's say it's you, Heather, and you say, all right, 10 of my best friends are coming to my party and we're going to, you know, have this like fun curated dinner and it's going to start at this time. And here are the people that I'm inviting and there's only room for 10. So like no plus ones, you know, it's like, fine, great. And then, you know, but like, depending on the person that you are, you might also like create a spreadsheet. So like everyone has each other's contacts. You know, and like sort of like, and maybe, you know, and where you're coming from and, you know, and here's the address.
Oh, I know a lot of spreadsheet people.
Yeah. And like all of that stuff is always I find it sort of like chuckle amusing, but also very helpful.
Absolutely,
because I'm not
yeah.
really that person. Like, I'm just not the person who's going to go that extra mile. I mean, yeah. unless I was like planning like, you know, or a once or twice or three times in a lifetime event type thing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'd just be like, just show up, you know, if you want to. Mm-hmm. Like, that's more my MO. But there's no right or wrong here, but it does... It kind of made me laugh a little bit about the fact that, well, I mean, what I'm laughing at is that there is no right or wrong here.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, you don't want to just be like, I have no plan, you know? So you're just like a shit show all the time and like everyone's annoyed with you. Like, that's no good. But like, if you're too alpha, yeah. then everyone kind of goes behind your back like, dang, can't they just chill out a little bit? Like, what in the heck is going on with all these spreadsheets, you know, and like follow-up emails and like maybe even a website, like who knows,
a website.
And yeah, like I don't know what the answer is, but I find it it's a fascinating anthropological study.
Oh, it totally is. And I know people like that who, you know, I did recently do like a kind of a group weekend up at my house, and someone did urge me to make a spreadsheet. And I was like, really? This is supposed to be fun. Like, I mean, you know, I associate spreadsheets with work and work. So the last thing I want to do when I'm doing something social is a spreadsheet, but it does help. In fact, we had a spreadsheet for this trip. I mean, it wasn't very complicated, but we kind of had to break some things down. And it does help certain cases. But yeah, it is really funny, the range from alpha to beta, or all the in-betweens.
Yeah, alpha to, I don't know, zeta, whatever the other one is at the other end.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, like, for example, a friend of mine is getting married in a few months, mm-hmm. and she is a extremely organized person. Mm-hmm. I would say the height of structure, not in an annoying way, just like that's just the person that she is.
Yep.
And that has been extremely helpful to me. I mean, I know more about this wedding than I could possibly know. And, you know, it's
and you like
still
knowledge.
Like, yeah, I totally do. I love that. But
I had to open my black cherry Waterloo. I'm thirsty. Carry
it's
on.
Fine. I didn't think you were like choking or anything. Black cherry Waterloo sounds pretty good. Mm. But yeah, I think it's a great skill to have a lot of structure. Sometimes though, I feel like it comes out in funny ways. Now,
it does.
You know, planning your own wedding is not one of those situations. Obviously, it's like, mm-hmm. dude, you got to do it. You know,
yeah.
or like everyone's going to be wandering around asking you questions day of. But when it comes to like, so sort of like a WhatsApp group, like, here's our intention of mm-hmm. this group. You have been cordially invited, and here are the things that you need to do in order to stay in good graces with this group. It's like, oh, get the fuck out of here.
It's really funny because just like yesterday or the day before, so I have like splinter groups with this one group. And so there's like little groups that are smaller groups uh-huh. from within the big group. And because the big chat is like 12 people, and it kind of overwhelms me. And I tend to stay out of that a lot, but it's constantly uh-huh. going. It's like, it has a life of its own.
It's a machine. It's sentient.
It's sentient. And then, but then there'll be a splinter group that like, I just got added to one that was the polar opposite of what you're talking about. It was just like about cats, super cash, you know, like very just like, no, there's no obligation here at all whatsoever. And I was like, yes, oh, I love this. And then I've got my, you know, I've got a bunch of little groups that are, you know, some are more demanding than others, but yeah, it is a funny conversation that we should come back to. There's a lot to unpack there.
There definitely is. Yeah.
I use this expression quite a bit. I really like the idea of this is just like the idea of like the power of suggestion. And I use it a lot when I am explaining, I don't know, movies. And I mean, there's certain things I recall using this expression a lot to refer to, but this is something I thought about before my trip. And I did bring it up on the show when I was preparing mentally for this trip, because as we said, you know, going away for 2 weeks when you have a business to run and there's a lot of responsibility and you have to do a lot of prepping, and I had to kind of, you know, I did a lot of mental, not a lot, but just like throughout the day, I'd just be like, okay, so, you know, things are going to happen. You're going to be out of your comfort zone and just you keep your chill. And I told myself, I said, you know, you, I'm talking to you, you know, learn, they take the time on this trip to get back into the moment. Not that I'm not in the moment, but like, you know, it was sort of like not a New Year's resolution, but it was something that I wanted to work on this trip, be constructive about. So I told myself, self, try to be in the moment as much as possible, even when shit hits the fan. You know, let things roll off your back, like, you know, and I did. And I really think that the power of suggestion, which is kind of the idea of, you can do it to yourself and you can do it to other people, is sort of this, you know, kind of influencing something to happen by talking about it or like sort of realizing it, you know? And so I kind of was building myself up for, okay, like things are going to happen that are going to be uncomfortable or whatnot. So just take this time, like as a monk would do, like practice being Zen, you know, in the moment. And I did. And there were lots of occasions where I had to like, okay, what do we do now? You know, like, let's keep our calm, you know, and, you know, figure this out and don't get too upset about it, that kind of thing. And I'm proud of myself. It's weird. It's like, I was very aware of the fact that my power of suggestion that I did before I left did help. And I feel like I'm kind of on another level with practicing being in the moment, you know, because I can be impatient and I can like want to move on to the next thing. And I learned things about myself that, or I was reminded about things about myself, and I didn't give myself enough credit. You know, I really realized how tough and resilient I am. And that, you know, you get in these comfort zones in your routine and in your home life, and you forget what it's like being on the road and being uncomfortable and being thrown into the mix, you know? And it was really interesting. I feel like empowered in a way a little bit, because it reminded me of like who I am at the core. And it just felt really cool to tap into that again. So if any of y'all out there feel like you have to, I mean, I would think we all have things that we have to remind ourselves and help pump ourselves up for, you know, various things. The power of suggestion is quite powerful. So I don't know, email us if you have thoughts on this, hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
Indeed. Yes. What have you suggested to yourself that has worked?
What hasn't worked? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right.
Doesn't always work.
I'm like, power of suggestion. Will win the lottery. Hasn't happened yet, Heather. I also don't play. But boy, do my neighbors play the lotto. I'll tell you.
How do you know that?
Oh, yeah. How do I know? Because they buy tickets in front of me at Sam's Market.
Got it.
No, it's you know, lotto people are lotto people.
No, they are.
It's kind of like, you got a couple extra bucks and it's like, why not? You know, like I might win $15 billion today. I mean, you won't, but you don't have a 0% chance. Mm-hmm. You have an almost 0% chance.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly zero. I don't know. I could, yeah. The lotto that's my dad used to play the lotto. So, I mean, I'm familiar with the lotto.
I occasionally will buy a ticket, but very occasionally. I'm just not a gambler. I don't like to throw money away. I don't know. But
no, I know I'm missing the gene. I will not become a gambling addict, which is a good thing.
It is.
I don't want to do that. Not
chips
that
and salsa addict.
Plays a lotto
as
a gambling addict, but I'm missing the chip in my brain where this is fun.
Yeah,
it just isn't fun to me.
I do think it's
a
chip.
Like, oh, I just yeah, like I just I just could have like set the money on fire in my backyard.
And that's okay. Yeah. There's more time for other activities. You know, you can't love everything.
Yeah, definitely can't. But you can love being one of our patrons. Because we certainly love you being one of our patrons. If you're listening to the show and it's the free version, then you're not a patron, but you could be one. And becoming a patron, by the way, patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is where you can find out more about directly supporting the show as a patron. Ad-free versions of the show. We never want to make anybody pay for this. But you will hear ads otherwise. And that might be fine with you. If you say, you know, I'd like to, you know, kick a little back to Heather and Sarah for doing the good work that they do. That is
saving
how...
the world.
Yeah, exactly. Saving the world one day at a time. That's what we do. But Patreon is where we have a community of folks who directly support us, and we really, really appreciate that. For everybody who already does, if you're on the fence, give it a look, see if it works for you. One of the fun things we always tell people about is our Discord. If you can part with $5 a month or at any point, but $5 minimum, you can join our Discord and chat with us. We're on the back channel with some of the fine folks who have been with us from the very beginning and ways in between. And we love y'all, and we really, really appreciate your support. And, you know, if you have any ideas for, you know, Heather and I are always threatening to go back to Patreon and, like, figure out
we're
our new tiers. And it's, you know, it's a new year. I'm sick. You know, we're going to get back onto, like, some sort of, like, normalized plane.
Yeah, we are.
Over the next month or so. And then, you know, and then let's talk. But if you have any ideas in the meantime, we'd love to hear them. And a good way to get a hold of us is hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
And power of suggestion. Become a patron. Become That's a patron. Right.
Become I'm a patron. Suggesting.
Get in our Discord. You know, it's been a bit crickets in our Discord the last few weeks. Holidays a little bit. I'm traveling. There's a lot going on in our lives. It happens, you know? It's like anything. Things come and go. Things ebb and flow, but yeah. So
very
let's.
Poetic
Sarah, it's always so great to see you.
Thank you, Heather. I appreciate that. I love it. Love it. It's like this is like the end of an Oprah interview. Sarah, so good to
it's
see you.
It's been
as
wonderful.
Always.
It's been what we yeah. have to get. Yeah. We gotta get coffee.
We really,
sometime.
You know,
gotta
we really unpack some things today. It has been fun.
There's a lot of other things I want to unpack next time, so I will write myself a note and try to remember it for next week. But in the meantime, before we unpack more things, I will be Heather.
Forever. You will be Heather, and I will be Sarah forever.
Yeah. Have such a good day. Beats.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.